Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad in Japan podcast. Probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by England's top Japan enthusiast, Mr. Pete Donaldson himself. Pete, how the devil are you doing? What's going on?
Good morning, Christopher. It is 20 to 7 on Sunday, the 25th of wherever, and I am Pete Donaldson, co-host, sidekick to Chris Broad in the Chris Broad universe, here on the Abroad in Japan podcast, and I'm happy to announce that I finally got behind the wheel of my large automobile. The Toyota Century is on the road. Well, is it on the road? It's not really on the road. I borrowed some trade plates from a car salesman and drove it to the MOT centre to get MOT. But I finally got behind the wheel, Chris. Only had a jump start it once on the way because it died. Oh, but it has some kind of battery drain on it. But I'm sure we'll get to the bottom of it somewhere. There's just a lot of tech in there that could be going wrong. But we'll figure it out and we'll get on the road as soon as we can. But it's going to be a long 6 weeks waiting for the registration plates, I think, because I had a lot of fun driving this very squishy car down the road. Squish, 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 squish. Very, very squishy. And it was a lot of fun. And like people waved at me. One man took a picture of it. It was, I felt like a real boy.
At last, it paid off. The stress, at the strain, the expense of moving or buying a car in Japan, importing it around the world, having one man wave at you. It was all worth it now.
All it took. just outside Paws Indoors, the doggy daycare centre, a man waved at me. It's not a nice part of the place where I'm in, and it could have just been a man who was on drugs. Hello!
Oh, man. So you can drive it down the road, kind of, but not.
Yeah, you are legally allowed to drive a car to its MOT in whatever state it's in without registration plates. But I would not like to test that particular hypothesis because the police would be attracted to it by the fact it had no registration plates. So I'm not the sort of man to sort of be able to deal with a policeman asking me even the most rudimentary of questions, and so therefore I borrowed some trade plates and drove over, and they were very matter of fact about it. Is this the car? I said yes, here it is. He said, are all of the bits in the back? I said yes, all of the bits are in the back, and now it's gone, it's forgotten, it's done with. So that's the end of the story for now.
So when do you get your beloved Toyota Century back? When does it come back?
Well, they give me it back when they finish the MOT, which will be sometime next week. So hopefully it'll pass. And then all I've got to do is wait about 6 weeks while the cogs grind. Do cogs grind or is it gears? I guess gears grind.
Gears.
In the DVLA licensing office. Who sort of busy. Because you've got to fill out this form that has so many questions. I mean, this form is insane. Registering a new vehicle.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I don't think you have to fill in all of the boxes, but there are a lot of boxes that are just like, what is the CO2 emissions of this car if it was filled with helium? What is the CO2 emissions if it was on the moon? How heavy would this car be on Saturn, etc.? All this stuff. And it's like, it's just a lot of questions that I can't answer. So I think I've filled in every box I can. Weight, dimensions, that's it. It's a 2-ton car, got to deal with it. And hopefully it'll get on the road. So yeah, for now it's almost there. We're almost there, Chris.
I mean, it's not too much, like it's still the same sort of thing in Japan, right? When you get a car, you have to prove you have a car parking space. So I think Japan is even just as complicated as it is in the UK in some respects, but one reason
you imagine that it's way more well staffed, though. You know what I mean? There's probably a few more people working at that job, because here it's just, you've got to wait 6 weeks to get a car on the road.
6 weeks? My God. Like, one of the reasons I got a K car, off the record, I guess, is that I didn't have a car parking space to put one in, right?
Yes. Okay.
So I could have, like, if I'd got a normal car that day, back in December when we bought the car, the ill-fated day. If I'd got a white plate kind of normal car, I wouldn't have been able to take it back home, because without a car parking space is like illegal, which is really weird. It's a really weird rule, but it makes sense. But yeah, that's the one good thing about getting a K car, I guess. And then you can just park it at Natsuki's house and leave it there for 4 months.
What's Natsuki's? I mean, we know so much about Natsuki. Well, we know enough. We know everything we need to know about Natsuki as his public persona. But what's the Natsuki palatial mansion like? Is it like, has it got a lot of square footage? I guess it's out in the sticks, so it probably would have. It is a larger than normal house, is it?
It's a normal size house, I'd say. Like out in the countryside, you get a lot more bang for your buck. And it's a good, decent-sized place. He's got a rooftop where he cycles his little bicycle around for getting fit. And,
Natsuki? Here we go. There we go. We've got to the strawberry innards. The beautiful fruity strawberry innards. I've been eating a lot of chocolates this week. Hang on. So he's got a roof, and he cycles around it like the bloke from Saw. What's going on? Like,
he's not Jigsaw. No, he doesn't.
Sounds like Jigsaw.
It's an exercise bike, not a little tricycle.
Oh, right. You said around. Bike. You said he cycles it around.
Well, I meant like metaphorically around.
Right.
You know,
okay.
He's in one stationary place as he sits on his rooftop and cycles.
Very confusing.
But it's a nice sized place. It's absolutely good. Filled to the brim with clutter. He's a real hoarder when it comes to things.
Yeah. Nice. Okay.
Which, you know, my family. It's just the same. It's awful. Whereas I'm the because I like was raised up in a household of hoarders. Basically I'm the antithesis to that. I want to bin everything, and I bin things that I probably shouldn't, like camera equipment that's probably worth a lot of money. So if things are messy, I'm like, put it in the bin. Don't organise it. Just chuck it in the bin. Get rid of it. Knee-jerk
so
reaction.
Back in the day when you'd go to the Broad's house, like your house would be like the clutter-free embassy. There'd be nothing there, and everybody else would just the rest of the house would just be an absolute like dip.
My room would be clear. Yeah, I just brilliant. The hoarding thing. Yeah, but Natsuki's really bad, and he should
in
throw
every sense
a
of the
lot
word.
Of things away. He needs to get throwing things away. I don't know. Maybe it's when you get older, you kind of just think, oh, I'll keep that. I'll keep this broken pencil. You never know what I might need.
But you've got history with it, haven't you, I suppose, as you get older? When you're the things, you know, I'm looking at, well, not a pencil, but it's a very bad example, Chris Broad, but you've been very naughty there.
But that's the sort of thing hoarders get, though, and keep. They keep pencils, don't they? Broken
things.
Well,
they think it'll be useful in the future for all of their writing needs, and then they never write anything because they haven't got enough room.
Sounds like you're a hoarder in disguise.
Oh, mate, I'm a massive hoarder. Absolutely. Look at this tap behind me. Look at this nonsense!
But that's good stuff. Okay,
I got an action figure that with a man with a smooth head that just says no. That was from Japan. I don't know what he is.
But I guess you hoard things that are kind of good, but then maybe not, judging by that doll. Maybe
I think the target market for selling this sort of stuff on. I just have no access to it, so I'm just like, well, that's just going to sit there. It'll go to a charity shop when I die. And everyone would be like, what is this? But throw it in the bin. Throw it in the bin. We're not going to get any money for this.
God forbid the person has to go through your stuff, Pete, and sort of work out what is and isn't rubbish one day. My Lord. We got a story here from Dom, who says, hello, Chris and Pete. Love my weekly fix from the Abroad Japan podcast. Keep up the good work. While staying in beautiful Kobe in November last year, I saw an advert in my hotel for a local hot spring. Having just come from Beppu the previous week, I was delighted to find another onsen in Kobe and duly visited that afternoon. Armed with my newly acquired onsen etiquette and pidgin Japanese, I breezed through reception to the third floor hot spring, where I quickly changed and searched for the onsen, naked with the obligatory towel in hand. A confident doko to the changing room assistant who pointed to the baths only increased my confidence that I was finally adjusting to the Japanese way of life. I then saw an inviting, dark-coloured, steaming onsen with a few locals enjoying the bath. I walked into the bath feeling like Richard Chamberlain in Shogun. But as I went to step down into the bath, the floor seemed to give way underneath me as my arthritic Natsuki-style body, fell forwards in what seemed like slow motion. I realised too late that there was a short staircase underneath the beautiful, dark, steamy waters, which I'd completely missed. Having misplaced my footing, tumbling forward, I finally belly-flopped into the water, splashing the poor locals who were already there. What was a pool of water was now a pool of shame, and my red face couldn't be disguised despite the warm water and steam. Fortunately, only my fragile ego was bruised, and most of the men had smiles on their faces. One gently pointed to the danger sign written in kanji, directly next to my dive spot, which I had missed. Oh, my God. I wonder, have you guys ever made or experienced an onsen faux pas? I can still show my face in Japan, though, and we'll be going to Tokyo and Kawaguchiko in a couple of weeks for more adventures. Best wishes, Dom. That is pretty embarrassing. I remember the first time I went in a hot spring, I think I sort of jumped into it, and somebody gave me a stern lecture on why not to do that. Because you're kind of like supposed to, you know, treat the water with ceremony and, you know, respectfully enter and not fucking dive bomb into it like Dom did. Or admittedly,
wet and wild.
Yeah, wet and wild experience. God, just imagine all these like stern-looking men just being splashed and recoiling in horror.
The point to the sign is fantastically comedic. Like, just like the really compounding the embarrassment. Just like the sign that says "Don't be a c word." And just like the whole kind of thing, you're like going, "Oh, good, the gaijin are here." Just splashing it around, water everywhere, over everyone's glasses and in their hair. Oh, brilliant. Fantastic. I think there's well done, Dom.
Definitely seems to be like a sense of dread when lots of foreigners enter a hot spring. Mainly because everyone's just so loud. Like I climbed Mount Takao last year with a group of friends, and they're all foreign folks. We went to a hot spring at the bottom of the mountain, and everyone was talking quite loudly. And one guy got out, and then a few minutes later, like a member of the staff came in. And she was like, "Choto, shut the fuck up, kudasai." And it was like, oh God, shit, awkward. But yeah, you got to be mindful of these things. But
that's why I'm constantly embarrassed by my friend's behaviour in Japan. So I'm just constantly on absolute. It's no holiday at all with me. I'm just like, oh God, I'm being too noisy.
I never know what the right level of noise is at a hot spring, but. Yeah, there's no
people
just,
do
just
chat
look around.
Though, like especially in the evening, people do treat it like a big social club. They're like, chat.
Yeah, exactly. I think talk and chat away, but just don't be so loud that you maybe alienate a few of the people around you in the hot spring. But I recently filmed a video up in Akita, and I went to a mixed hot spring with Charlotte, and we both filmed in it. That's coming out hopefully next week. And it was really awkward. The hotel, we thought they'd given us a window in the morning that we could film when there was no other guests in there because, you know, you don't want to film a hot spring when there's other people naked around or whatever.
No. I think it might be a crime.
Well, it turns out they didn't really make a window. They were just like, oh, it's kind of quiet around 10 a.m., so just go in there. So we went in and there was like, two or three guys sitting there alone, different points in the hot spring. And then one of the guys got really angry. He was like, what are you doing? What's going on? Get this manager now. We have to bring the manager out. And she apologized. And he gave her like a stern lecture on why. He also was like, is this television? And we said, no, it's YouTube. And he got really angry. He was like, if it's TV, it's fine. If it's YouTube, no.
Oh, oh, really?
And he like went off on a rant, this 50-year-old guy, about why YouTube's rubbish. And
right.
I didn't want to be like, our viewing figures can rival that of television, I'll have you know. But I,
I should have said that. Back your craft, sunshine. There's a lot of people who don't like YouTube in Hot Springs, and you could have been the difference. You could have been the man who stood up for your tawdry little discipline.
What was annoying was he was supposed to get out the bath at like 10. And they just sat in there to prove a point and just sort of...
Right,
we'd sort of stand in the snow cold waiting to film because of this guy. And on the one hand, I was sympathetic towards him. Obviously, you know, this was his holiday. He was in this hot spring. But then he was kind of rude and he could have been a little bit nicer about it. But really, it was the hotel's fault for bungling it and not actually giving us a window to shoot in. So, a little bit awkward. So when you watch that video, you can sense the tense atmosphere in the pool. There's a few people in the background. And it was a bit it was a bit awkward, which was a shame. But good news. A lovely story this week. I love a good news story where there's no death or murder or something going wrong. It's nice. Tell us what's going on, Pete. Tell us why cassette tapes are making a comeback. Yes. Bring back the 90s.
Well, I can't tell you exactly why, but I can speculate using some news report that I've just read. In an era where digital streaming services dominate the music industry, a surprising retro revival is taking place. The comeback of the cassette tape. Once thought to be a relic of the past, the humble rectangle of magnetic film is experiencing a renaissance, charming a new generation of music enthusiasts with its nostalgic appearance and distinctly warm and rich sound. Apparently, back in September, at Tower Records in Shibuya. If you've been at Shibuya, you will have seen Tower Records. It's a real throwback. It's a real kind of like, wow, they still have these here kind of situation. It stocked about 3,000 cassette tapes last year. They had to extend how big that section was. And Side B Creations in Shibuya manufactures and sells cassette tapes and players. It's selling 10 times more cassette players now than it did around 2017. They don't say what that exact number is. It could be three. It could be four. But I think it may be a little bit more than that. But obviously, recently, vinyl has been going through a bit of a revival. But yeah, cassette tapes are getting up there as well. I think the charm of the collection... I did find collecting cassettes a little bit more satisfying than... I never collected vinyl, but I'd certainly collected cassette tapes back in the day. They were just... I don't know. They were just had a bit more to them, I think, weirdly. I think... I know there's something beautiful about this kind of like really... like weird kind of big circular bit of vinyl, but I did like a cassette tape, even though they did frequently go very, very wrong indeed. And every time I've gone to Tokyo, I will come back with a pretty decent set of cassettes or even a cassette recorder as well. I've got like a few little kind of like those ones that have televisions and Terabino radios, television, radio, and cassette players as well. So, apparently, according to a 2022 survey by the Recording Industry Association of Japan, an organization representing the Japanese music recording industry, YouTube accounts for 60% of music listening. So, the 40% is up for grabs, cassettes. Go and get it. Cassettes are something you can own, says the head of that organisation, and feel attached to. For the younger generation, they are novel, and for those who used them before, they evoke nostalgia about their early days of listening to music. Now, Chris, I've got a few years on you. I certainly spent a lot of time listening to the cassette tape. In fact, my Toyota Century has its own Toyota Century Walkman in the back. That's one of its USPs. But, were you a big cassette guy or were you CDs only?
I remember, my first player was a cassette player and then I got like a Goodman CD player. I was very excited by CDs, this idea you could skip the track because cassettes, like, you can't do that in the same way, you know, with vinyl, it's tricky. So I wasn't... I my first cassette, I think it was... Not a good one. I think it was Aqua.
It's not a
good one. Dr. Jones. Dr. Jones. calling Dr. Right. Jim. Oh my God.
I'll tell you for one. back in the day, you've obviously been playing a lot of Ghost of Tsushima, but the Ghost of Tsushima I used to play when I was a kid very much came on tape because I had an Amstrad CPC 6128, which had a disc option, but they were very expensive and rare. So the only way you could really copy games illegally was through the old tape player. So yeah, I played a lot of video games that would take a good 5-10 minutes to load up via a tape player. I had that as well.
I did have that as well, in the early 90s. That was really weird, like the idea of playing a video game off a cassette. Like that's kind of weird. I feel very lucky to have lived a little bit through the physical
every
world.
Generation.
The 90s. Well, yeah, I feel like it's been kind of cool watching that transition, and I definitely miss physical things a little bit. I used to I've been collecting vinyl. I talked about it a while back, but I have been collecting quite a few vinyl records, and I have an LP player that I put on music, and I flip it, and I enjoy getting to know all the songs that I normally skip over. Like I think the problem with the streaming era is I personally, I never discover new songs. It always just gives me kind of what I want, which is good. But it's nice to buy an LP and listen to all the Rolling Stones songs that sort of fell down through the cracks over the years. And,
I very much end up in Taking Back Sunday Boulevard, which it just, for some reason, my Spotify just defaults to playing Taking Back Sunday, who are very good, awful live, but very good. I think they came up with a new album back in last year. But yeah, a really good band. But they, I don't know what Spotify thinks I am, but they never give me any new stuff. They just always give me, hey, do you like Yellow Card? Do you want to hear some brand new? Do you want to hear some like late 90s? Sort of to mid-noughties emo. Yeah, you can have it.
I think that's one thing I love about Japan, though. It has for me, it feels like it has a much stronger connection to the 90s era that I nostalgically love and crave to be back inside at some point. Back to the 90s. Because, you go to a secondhand shop and, you can get cassettes, LPs, DVDs. I mean, you go to a new shop like Steyr and they still have bloody DVDs and cassettes and Tower Records. And I think when you go back to the UK, it's quite tricky to find such a place outside of little kind of antique stores and things. So, I think that's one of the best things about Japan. It has that connection to the physical world still. Still use floppy disks, don't they? They only just got rid of those again recently, or tried. I don't know if they've failed yet again to get rid of floppy disks in 2024. It's mental. But Tower Records is really cool, though. I got some LPs there recently, and I saw Tatsuro Yamashita. I saw one of his cassettes, one of his most popular album, For You, was on cassette, and I was tempted to get it. It looked kind of this. I love the cuteness of cassettes, like the size and scale. They're so cute and portable and cool.
They do kind of like get lost inside. You know, the tape occasionally will get lost inside the machine and stuff, and that's very annoying. But they are quite durable. Dropping them and stuff. They don't generally get damaged all that much. So yeah, good stuff. I very much enjoy a guy called Techmoan, who does videos online about old tape players and stuff. Well worth a watch on YouTube. He's a man who I think lives in sort of Birmingham, sort of Dudley way, and he just does his thing. Just getting old tape players and restoring them and fixing them and stuff. He's great.
That's such a niche. Well, I like that.
Yeah.
But, I'll have to go and rummage around Tower Records after the show and see what cassettes I can pull out, see what I can find from their new stockpile.
Maybe we should put this podcast on a tape and send it out to somebody.
That would be the most Pete Dolson thing ever. Buy the podcast, available now on cassette.
I made my own record one
Christmas. Could we fit a bloody episode onto a cassette, though? Because it's like 30 minutes.
Yeah, because you get like an album. An album was like two sides, wasn't it? So like half an hour. Yeah, you could on one side you could get a podcast. I reckon you could have it like printed.
That'd be cool.
And stuff.
For like
it'd be cracking.
It would be hard to choose the episode. We'd have to have a very special episode to justify that. 10 things I hate about Japan, side A. 10 things I love about Japan, side B.
Yeah,
check it out. But we'll be back in just a moment, guys. With your stories, comments, and questions in the fax machine.
Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. In our daily lives, we all carry around with us different stressors. They can be big, they can be small, and sometimes we might not even realize that we're carrying them around with us. But if these feelings stay bottled up, they can start to affect us negatively, which is why having a positive outlet for discussion can be such a valuable tool for your well-being. Therapy can be a perfect outlet for your inner stressors. It's a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Sometimes just speaking things out into the open can be such a great release of inner tension, so you can spend less time stressing about the issue and more time figuring out how you can overcome it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
Wow.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Dawson? Fill us in.
We got a message from Caroline from Guelph, I think you say that, just outside of Toronto in Canada, Guelph. Hello, Chris and Pete. It's been such a joy listening to your podcast over the last year. Oh, stop, as I've been gearing up for my second visit to Japan and trip planning in great detail. My first trip to Japan was in 2017, and I'm hoping to take my husband there for his first time in the next year or so. My question is around the use of dairy products in Japan, because my husband is lactose intolerant. I know that Hokkaido is the area that produces and uses a lot of dairy, but is dairy, such as butter, milk, or cream, used widely elsewhere as well? Is there butter in the cooked rice? Do they fry things in butter? I'd like to learn how to ask staff members in Japanese if a dish has dairy in it, so we can steer clear where possible. Thanks so much for your great content. Keep up the great work. Caroline from Guelph, just outside of Toronto in Canada. I mean, they wouldn't put the butter in the rice, would they? I mean, it's probably the one place in the world you could probably get away with managing to avoid the whole butter situation.
The butter situation.
The butter situation.
I used to have a lot of butter in my rice. That just reminded me. I used to stick in dollops of... Not in Japan, like before I came here.
Whiskey in your coffee, butter in your rice.
It was good. It worked. Yeah. It's really good. They don't do it here, though. Probably for the best. And fortunately, most people in Japan, I think, are lactose intolerant as well, which is why cheese boards are unfathomably small and embarrassing. So, yeah, right. Your husband's in good hands here, to be honest. I don't think I don't think you're going to have any trouble here.
Chris used to bring in his own butter.
Whip out my butter. Oh, yeah. I want some butter now. I need some lunch. We got one here.
Get that man some butter.
We got hello, Meshu, Chris, and Red Eye Pete. My friend and I are planning our first ever trip to Japan for January 2025, and we've been revisiting your videos from the very beginning to plan out our 2-week itinerary. We were keen to visit one of the three islands and wanted to know if either of you had a personal preference on which animal island to visit and be smothered by. Should we choose cats, foxes, rabbits? Are there any more options now? Cheers for all your work and weekly podcasts. All the best, guys. Yash from South Australia. Foxes, rabbits, cats. The best island is Rabbit Island because it's near Hiroshima. And Cat Island is so remote and it's just a bit depressing. I think Rabbit Island, it's got some history to be had, personally. I don't know, which of the animal islands are you a fan of, Mr. Dawson? You've been to them all.
I'm very much a Rabbit Island. I've not kicked a ball on Cat Island, but Rabbit Island was a lot of fun. And certainly, they know that you've got shit in your pockets. They know that you've got food for them because they're like, well, why would you even be here? Why would you even be here if you didn't have food in your pocket? So they very much know that you're.
Why would you be here? Well,
that you're carrying. No, they're
why
all
would you
over
be
you.
There? You'd be there to look at the chemical weapons factory, of course.
Exactly.
On Rabbit Island.
Just look around.
I honestly, I don't think I'd recommend any of the animal islands. I'd recommend going somewhere like good. Like Naoshima. Naoshima is a good island. Art Island.
I think.
In the inland sea. Lots of artwork. Quite good. Mm. No rabbits to be found either. And no bloody cats.
I think with Rabbit Island, certainly, you always sort of, there's this nagging sensation in the back of your head, and you do sort of go, there could be more rabbits. there could always be more rabbits.
There are
a lot of rabbits for one island, but there could always be one more rabbits, to be quite frank.
Getting greedy now. Greedy for rabbits.
Dude,
I mean, Cat Island, though, it's just depressing, like, because all the cats look like they've been in a war. Like you arrive on the island, they sort of limp and they're stumbling around. There's just too many. There's like 200 cats on this island and not enough food to sustain them all. And it's just unfortunate. It's called Tashirojima and I haven't been there in a while, actually. It's not that far from where Connor and I camped on that island with Natsuki. So should have gone to Cat Island instead. Eating some cats. Out of a sinister edge to the video. We've got one last question from Corey. It says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. I have the most serious question ever asked on this podcast. if all prefectural mascots were to become real, who would win in a battle royale to the death? Pokemon are disqualified. Corey from New York." That requires me to now remember the mascots of Japan. It's Kumamon the bear. I mean, it's obviously, it's Melon Bear. It's Melon Pan. The bear with a fucking melon for a face. He's just really violent. Not like Kumamon, who's cuddly and fun.
Who's the one? Is that the one that's like a bear, but we've like got no face or something? Isn't there one that's like...
He's got a face.
It's a melon.
It's a melon.
All right, then. Fine, yeah.
He's really aggressive looking, with these big gnarly teeth. There's also a clock tower.
I just think Kumamon is like... Clock Tower Man. Oh, yes, I remember him, yeah.
Scary Clock Tower.
I think Mondo Mascots on Twitter is a really good follow, to be quite frank. Mm. I would say that, like, with Kumamon, because he's so absolutely minted, he brought so much money to the area, I think you've got to respect. He's like the Tony Stark of mascots. He's got, like, so much money. He could do on all of them if he wanted to.
He brought in, like, $100 million to the... economy. I think it was even more than that, wasn't it? It was like $1 billion.
Something
last
like
time
that,
I checked,
yeah.
To the region. Because all, like, anyone can use Kumamon, right, for anything in Kumamoto, I believe. Or maybe even outside Kumamoto. You can use the mascot freely. So, and he's brought in untold wealth. I'm not sure how much money Melon Bear has brought in to Yubari with their big melons. I'm not sure. Mm. I suspect not that much. Because he's very frightening. I'm a bit Melon Bear. He would win. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming in, guys, to broadjapanpodcast@gmail.com or right away here on YouTube if you're watching on YouTube. But for now, no matter where you might be, out there in the big wide world, have yourself a great few days. We'll see you right back here. Do it over again, cassette in hand, on the Abroad Japan Podcast. Bye for now.
Sorry.
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.